You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Attention, moms. Cleveland Browns are hosting the Moms Football Safety Clinic on Saturday, August the 22nd at training camp. Tickets are only $5. They include a private viewing of training camp practice, a commemorative gift. I love saying that. Commemorative. A commemorative gift. A two-hour clinic to show moms how the game is being played safer than ever before in a fun and interactive way. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com to register now. Hurry, space is limited. You might crash the server. We got a lot. I'm sure there are a lot of football moms listening to the show right now. So look out.
We're sucking venom.
ClevelandBrowns.com. So fun stuff. Philip Caruso tweets us. Sucking snake venom is a myth. I just had a wilderness first aid class a few weeks ago, and the instructor said so.
Boom.
WebMD says the same thing. So Matt Wilhelm.
We're still good.
It hurts me that you wouldn't have done it before we knew it was a myth.
How is all well? I mean, it's the principle.
It's the principle. That's right. But he's back now. He's back. Is there something else that you would do to save me?
CPR?
So you would touch his lips before you kissed his arm, Matt?
Yeah.
Because part of CPR is mouth to mouth.
I understand.
It's 15 and then 2.
But at least we know it's a proven
At least
proven
we know
method.
It's been proven. Exactly.
And by the way, you could carry one of those masks that they use.
Yes.
You could have that.
Yes, exactly.
Some dental dam. Mm-hmm. All right, Washington Redskins coming to town in just one day. It should be some mixed emotions for Kevin Jones.
I grew up rooting for that team.
And as of today, the week is not over yet, but I think you have a clearer path to this Redskins-Browns preseason game than you did a year ago. So let's just continue to walk that straight and narrow for you here. But what are you looking forward to seeing when the Redskins come to town?
I mean, it's obviously Johnny Manziel and Justin Gilbert from the Browns angle. They have to come out there and kind of show that they can play. And there's been a lot of confidence built between these two guys in the offseason, the preseason. And I think the Redskins are kind of a hungry team, too. It's year two of Jay Gruden, and they had a horrific year one under him. 4-12, a lot of locker room issues.
Not like the Jets, but close.
No, yeah. I mean, the Redskins are kind of, I wouldn't call them a mess, but they want to have a good preseason. They want to get the fans on their side of things. So the Redskins need to come out of the gate. So for me, Justin and Johnny is what I'm watching for the Browns.
And again, I think of all things, I know Justin and Johnny are a thing to watch, but I question it being your lead thing to watch. Because I know they were first-round draft picks, but those two guys right now, when it comes to the 2015 Browns, will not be on the field as starters.
Yeah,
but they're the thing to watch.
Yeah, but preseason doesn't matter, Matt. I mean, it really doesn't in terms of wins and losses. I mean, team chemistry a little bit, but this is where they're going to get to play the most, so I want to see them take some strides.
But you just said preseason doesn't matter, but so the reps that they're getting don't essentially
matter. For the players that are going to play every down is what I'm saying for the starters. For these guys, they need to build some confidence. That's why Johnny and Justin for me.
No, I get that. Yeah. I guess in my case, it's just not what those two players are irrelevant as of right now for the 2015
Browns.
Well,
I know Mike Pettine said he wants to see more physicality. He wants to see tackling. He wants to see finished blocks against another team. So from that angle, from a team side, that's what I'm watching. But I think in terms of individual players, those two, because we're not going to see them on the field every play during the season. So this is their four games to really shine.
And speaking of confidence, I mean, that's why I'm looking at like how the Browns with their first team offense run the ball.
Yeah,
I think that it's just like, you know, we've seen just a ton of passing throughout the entire training camp. And really, that's all the orange and brown scrimmage was outside of like one big run by Drone and one by Timothy Flanders. So, I mean, you want to see Isaiah Crowell, Terrence West, you want them to step up and then kind of embrace what all that's been said the last week. I mean, they've been kind of the big story over these past few days ever since Wilbert kind of came out and
targeted
and
them.
I mean, so I think it's he wants to see how they respond. We know the offensive line's good, so now it's on the running back.
And isn't it safe to say that another, you know, huge point of emphasis is going to be watching Danny Shelton, drafted 12th overall, our ability to stop the run, the role that he will play. And as a young guy who's kind of in a rotation as a starter throughout practice here in Berea, should probably see a significant amount of snaps in this preseason game as well.
I'm curious how you approach that, though, because you obviously want him ready to go. You don't want to risk any kind of injury with this guy, but you want to work him out there as well. And you wonder, we don't know if Phil Taylor is going to be available for this game or not, so you're looking at both him and Ishmaili Kitchen. So I would expect you would see him out there early, but do you keep him on the same number of reps?
But here's the thing.
Do you worry about that?
D-line coach Anthony Weaver said they want to build like hockey rotations with the D-line, some chemistry, build that cohesion together so they can roll units together. That's why you have depth. You always hear the coaches say, let's roll with these guys. So I would say Danny will play quite a bit. I don't think you can concern injuries right now with him. You've really got to build this chemistry and communication in the run defense. That's huge. You don't get that as much against your own team in practice. You kind of need to practice against the Redskins here to really verbalize everything together.
I think Danny Shelton's starting week one, so I want to see whoever he's going to be working with. I want to see him working with those people as much as possible. I do agree with you on Johnny. I do want to ask this question about him because I want to see him. There's no substitute, as Mike Pettine always says, for live game reps. This is kind of be the best thing because you still want him to develop this year. Josh McCown started, but I do think it is important that Johnny Manziel continues to develop. How much do you guys want to see him in the preseason, and how much do you expect? I'll just say for me, I love Connor. Love to see him on our practice squad here. I don't Thad Lewis, I enjoy him as well. But what I want to see for this team, because my thinking is I want to win a Super Bowl someday, and Johnny Manziel is the quickest path to that. I'd like to see him get every single rep that isn't taken by Josh McCown over the next four games.
I would say two quarters, the one quarter in the game three, which you typically play the starters a lot in that game, and then maybe two or three quarters in the final game. So that's the thing I was thinking about yesterday too. It's like, you know, you're going into the season with Josh McCown as your starter. How do you continue this progression that Manziel has made throughout the preseason into the regular season? Because that's when things really get pared down. It's going to be probably on him even more to get more mentally involved and everything like that, because the reps just aren't going to be there in the regular season. So that's why these reps over the next month are just huge for him.
To me, if Josh McCown comes out and plays really well week one against the Redskins, I might even think about starting Johnny the next week, saying this is not a competition, but this is to get Johnny's feet wet, to him to go against a first team defense, against the Bills at home on an ESPN, a little pressure situation. I don't know whether Pettine and the coaching staff will consider that, but I would really talk about that, because McCown, if he comes out against the Redskins, performs like he has all along, he's set in stone. He's your guy. Why not give Johnny more of these live game reps? I think at least game four that he should play the first three quarters of that game. You want to see as much Manziel now as possible. And again, with Justin Gilbert too, I would like to see him possibly start a game in the preseason over Hayden, because you already know what you have there. This is the time for these guys to prove it to the coaching staff and the fan base that they were worthy of their picks and have some positive momentum going into the season.
Sure, and my question of Johnny and Justin Gilbert being your lead thing to watch is simply a part of my top five, but not number one on my list. And I, as I jotted this down, I want to see what is Flip's offense going to actually look like in a game setting. You know, all those pre-snap movements, can these guys grasp it and execute it in a game setting? That means not a lot of illegal procedure, not a lot of false starts. That means they're on time. Josh McCown, as we saw, late in that two-point conversion period where Josh McCown broke the huddle with about 14 seconds left, they did some shift in motions, tried to give the hand signal to, I think, either Taylor Gabriel or Andrew Hawkins, but the play clock expired and Mike Pettine is screaming out,
unhappy.
That's why we have the clock out here. Like, let's go. So that's something that I want to see. I think the wide receivers, can they be the playmakers for Josh McCown, for Johnny Manziel, regardless of who it is? The run game, which you guys have already talked about. Danny Shelton, I just mentioned. And then in my case, it's Johnny Manziel. You know, his relevance to 2015, we want to know what we have simply because he's a first-round pick. If it were, a Bryce Petty-type personality, he's going to get the reps that you're going to give a second, a backup quarterback or a late-round or middle-round pick. So, for me, I want Johnny to progress. I don't have to live or die by seeing if he's going to live up to the billing of a first-round pick right now, because there's so many questions in my mind around this football team that can be solidified even in a preseason game.
Yeah, and I even think at the end of the preseason, no matter what, you're not even going to be able to come to that conclusion it's still
you still hang.
But if Johnny comes in and throws touchdowns and runs the offense effectively, everyone's feeling better. The coaching staff, the fans, everyone. So give him as much ample opportunity as you can.
But didn't Brandon Whedon do the same thing?
He had two good games, and then we went to Indy, and it was like
death. Yeah. Okay.
And then it was back to reality.
So you have to take the preseason with a grain of salt.
Of course. We just want to see positive momentum continue to be built for Johnny Manziel. Who are some of the under the radar guys that you are looking for? Because in the preseason game number one, that's pretty much who's going to be on the field for the entire second half. Who are you guys looking forward to seeing the most?
I heard you talking earlier with the Mr. 0%.
Zero.
So I want to keep watching the legend of Lens.
So put a percentage
on the practice field. I'd say it's still probably unlikely just because of the numbers in the room, but I won't put it at zero.
Unlikely like 10? Unlikely like 40?
I would say in between that.
I mean, if he comes out and has three – If he has three touchdowns in the preseason, Nathan, what are you going to say? That he's not good?
But you 0%. But you just said that the preseason's the preseason.
But what about Taylor Gabriel last season?
I just think that he would have to replace a Taylor Gabriel. And does he have the upside of a Taylor Gabriel?
He'd have to replace... Yeah, I mean, if Pryor you're going to keep five receivers.
So do you think he would have made it last
Pryor
year?
Benjamin, Marlon Moore is who he's
I don't
replacing.
Know. I mean, last year you weren't here at the time, but last year there was a guy, Willie Snead, that was
Nathan is way too locked into
very,
Marlon Moore,
very
I think.
Solid. Very solid, and people were excited about him. So Travis Benjamin would be six. I think Travis Benjamin is showing that he should be on this football team.
We'll see. He is a great practice player.
I'm just saying.
When you can't touch him, when he can run around and not be touched, he's fantastic.
I think Travis Benjamin, that's six. Pryor would be, if you were going to keep somebody as a wild card, why wouldn't you keep Pryor over Lenz?
No, I agree. I mean, I had Pryor on my 53 when we were in here a week ago discussing that. I think his upside.
I want Lenz on the practice squad. Yeah, I just don't think he, because at the end of the day, he still would be your sixth receiver, right? So that's going to be somebody that hopefully doesn't catch many balls. They have to contribute on special teams, or it's somebody in a special scenario like Troy Pryor where you're hoping
this guy,
they become somebody.
He could potentially be a Brian Hartline in a couple years in the right situation. He can develop skills where he gets 500, 600 yards a year, a couple touchdowns. Do you want to throw something like that away?
No, but I'm just saying he was also in Indianapolis where they are certainly into wide receivers. They drafted Moncrief last year. They drafted in the first round Philip Dorsett this year, and it's a pretty good situation. And I would think that they might – I'm not saying that because it didn't work out there doesn't mean it can't work out somewhere else.
Look at Scott Solomon.
For this particular team right now, I don't think he makes 53.
And do we not?
And
do we
I
not
will
need
eat
to take
delicious
into...
Taco Bell as a result of my prognostication.
But haven't we had the conversation about Pryor with the limited number of receptions he'll have as a six wide receiver and the amount that he'll actually play, that we're looking to find another role for him? Can
He's
he play
to.
Special teams? Can he be a change of pace guy with two quarterbacks on the field simply lining up at wide receiver? But Josh Lenz is just a wide receiver. He's not going to be your punt returner. He's not going to be a kickoff returner. Can't play gunner. Not going to be run down on kickoff. You're going to trust him to make a play. So do you really... the value you get out of Marlon Moore, yes, he's not going to run routes either. He's not going to have a whole lot of receptions, but he's going to play a dominant role on special teams, and you've built that into Pryor where you're going all in on Lenz as a wide receiver.
The other thing is, too, though, I mean, you got to reward some of these guys for what they do in training camp and practice, or other guys are going to be like,
he'll have a job.
I'm busting my butt.
He'll have a job on the practice squad.
His job right now, honestly, is to try to make this practice squad, make this 53, which he's trying to do, or put good tape out there so he makes somebody else.
He's
going to
definitely catch some notice, and I think there's some other guys, too, like a Dylan Wynn type of player who made a bunch of plays in the scrimmage. This is an opportunity for him to make plays in an actual game setting. He's been playing really well, getting worked in with some first-team guys on the defensive line as well. So this is a big stage, not just for what they can do maybe with this team, but with others, because there's going to be some other teams that don't have the depth situation that the Browns have.
Let me ask
a wide
you this.
Receiver.
Who do you think of, take all the unheralded guys, so we'll take everybody who's undrafted, and I'll throw Lenz Nix, who's undrafted and just came to the team. Of those guys, who do you think has the best shot of making the team?
EJ Bibbs.
Yeah, Bibbs, because Hausler is in some water right now. He's got to swim his way out of this, because he looked like a star in minicamp and OTAs, and we just haven't seen in the spring, and Pedden said it yesterday. This is a league where you got to show results. So Hausler's got to show something here in the preseason. I know that I've said that it doesn't matter per se, but for some of these guys, it actually really does.
It certainly does. So right now, let's go just around real quickly. So we know Gibbs is calling Lenz a lock to make the roster. He's willing to put Taco Bell on it. All right, you said between like 25%?
Yeah, 25%.
15%.
One.
Zero. Okay, all right. Listen, it's a great story. This is nothing against him. I think he's a good football player. I'm just saying, when you think about the numbers in the National Football League, the numbers on this team, I think even if they kept seven receivers, it's still zero.
It's just been such an interesting camp, because now when you look at that wide receiver group, now that I think Kevin Cohn and Rodney Smith aren't even in it, it's still pretty crowded the way it is. We've seen each one of those guys make some kind of big play over the past like 10 or 11 days of training camp. I don't know if that's an encouraging sign for the wide receivers, a bad sign for the second team defensive backs, but we've seen those guys get cheers from the crowd. Darius Jennings, Shane Wynn. I mean, they've all done things that have stood out in training camp. So Joker's got that room working pretty hard.
Is Vince Maley 100% lock for the roster? 100%.
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. And again, you're just looking at this team, right? Because Lenz isn't a big guy. He's a good athlete, not a big guy. You have Hawk, whose contract goes down to, I think, $1 million next year. So I imagine he'll be here again. You've got Gabriel, who I know that they are very, very high on. And some people here think is the best receiver on the team. Now, he hasn't had the training camp to build off of what we saw, I think, in minicamp. But
right.
He started to make some plays even against Hayden in the last few days. So I just think you look at the numbers, you look at the skill set and what he brings to the table, and you're also looking at the fact that, to me, that sixth receiver on this team cannot be a receiver only. Benjamin would have to be a good receiver and the punt returner. Marlon Moore's not really a receiver at all. He's a gunner more than anything, but one of the very best in the NFL at what he does. And you brought in Andy Lee.
I think Benjamin's in more trouble than you guys think. I know he's had a strong training camp, but he's just had 18 catches as his career high. I mean, I just...
So right now you're saying you've got like a prime rib is in the middle, and the only way you get it is if you're right. Benjamin or Lenz makes the team.
If Lenz goes out there and does what he's done in training camp, I'm leaning towards Lenz. I'm leaning towards Gibbsy over here.
So I think Benjamin's looked very good on punt return and kick return, especially with his competition that he's had so far in camp. That's why I think he's
punt returns
shape.
In camp, you're actually valuing that? They catch the ball.
You got to do it at some point.
He looks good catching the ball. Come on, KJ.
So do you. You're not making the team.
Well, I have the same chance, I think, as some of the other people. That's right. 0%.
Hey, another thing, the kicking competition,
I do
too.
Have good hands, though. It's true. What?
The kicking competition, too, is something to watch tomorrow.
Yeah, Coons, I thought, what a strong showing in Columbus from
53
Coons.
Yards?
He looks like Janikowski. I mean, from the press box, that thing was
one
good
step.
That thing was good for another 5 or 6
on
yards.
On the sideline,
I
said
yeah.
60. Yeah, it seemed like it was good for 60. And he takes a pretty short approach like Janikowski.
Yeah, it's a good
sign. We need a break,
looks
guys.
Like a good guy. Looks like he'd be fun to hang out with. Go surfing. He's apparently a surfer. Go 15 Mick Ultras with you, Gibbs. All right, when we come back, we're going to dip into the mailbag because we got quite a few mailbag questions. Also, we're going to hear from Joe Thomas as we wrap things up here on a spirited debate edition. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Gribbs, Kevin Jones, thanks for joining us. You can follow him on Twitter at @Andrew_Gribble and, of course, at @Mr_Kevin Jones. I know that you're gonna be okay anyway. You know there's no